You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. I don't know about you, but I love being a tourist in my own backyard.
100%.
And Blue Earth County has so much natural beauty. Nature was especially kind in beautifying the northeast corner of Blue Earth County with a number of lakes surrounded by the big woods. Madison Lake is one of those, was especially blessed with several desirable points of wooded land early sought out for their beauty, recreation, and resort living. As early as the 1850s, people have been gathering at the shores of this lake for fishing, recreation, and relaxation.
Oh, fun fact, Madison Lake is about 1,400 acres in size, okay? Mm. It's approximately 59 feet at its deepest, and I've only caught bass out of the lake so far.
Oh, no,
and I caught two northerns that actually ice fishing.
Oh, well, interesting. We're going to learn more about the fish that were even found in that lake as early as the 1850s.
All right.
Okay, so today we will explore the early history of Madison Lake's resorts. Let's jump in and be surrounded by history. So let's start with Point Pleasant, probably the most well-known. Many of us are familiar with Point Pleasant, whether or not we had been there, we've at least heard of it. Located on the northwest side of the lake, Point Pleasant Resort could be found on the point.
Well, that's convenient.
Exactly. By 1874, this area became a destination after General James Baker, who later founded the Mankato Free Press, and a friend from Ohio came to the point. They found fish so plentiful, they returned with axes, cleared the thick underbrush of the point, and camped for several days. Baker then went on to organize the Mankato Boat Club. Among the members was George Clark, who 3 years later took possession of the point, by this time already a popular resort. So early in the mid-1870s, already a popular resort. So Clark was the first one to build a hotel and made a number of improvements to accommodate guests. But in 1881, he sold the property to Lucida and J.M. Barkley. They were congenial people with the capabilities and contacts needed for promoting the resort throughout the Midwest. This couple became the ones most known for the development of Point Pleasant Resort. The Barclays filed the plat of Point Pleasant Town Site in 1883, 2 years before Madison Lake Town Site was platted. The point flourished as the popular resort whose accommodations and hospitality drew guests from such distances as Omaha, Chicago, and even St. Louis. Now remember, this is the 1880s we're talking about.
That's incredible if you were being drawn to Minnesota for that.
Oh, so after a week's visit at the point in 1884, the editor of the Des Moines Daily State Reader wrote, praising the crystal clear water of the lake and the magnificent grove of maple, oak, and elm surrounding the new hotel where, quote, no better meals or beds can be wished for. A few years later, an editor from Hastings, Nebraska, noted the hotel's spacious covered porch with a polished floor for dancing parties, and on the lawn a fine tennis court as well as a croquet ground finished off in elegant style. Elsewhere on the grounds, a boathouse held 15 boats, including 2 sailboats, and an ice house contained 60 tons of ice available for guests.
It's a lot of ice.
It's a lot of ice.
That's a lot of mixed drinks.
But there's a lot of partying happening there. I mean, the description just kind of paints it in your mind of how extravagant.
Right. It sounds very fancy.
Very fancy. How beautiful this resort.
I also like the way things are wrote back then. So like the editor from the Des Moines said the maple, oak, and elm. And said nowadays, I feel like they say there's trees.
Trees.
And, but they're like, no, it's maple. Oh, they took time to feel it, realize
exactly.
The trees were.
Exactly. So we'll keep on talking about our writing crew from the past. John Wise, he was the editor of the Mankato Review, which was a local newspaper. He was the first to build a cottage here on the point. It was built partly with surrounding timber. Later cottages were built by L. Patterson. He's a Mankato wholesale grocery man, and we'll talk a lot more about his family on another show.
Okay.
Hint, hint. George Brett, you might recognize the name from Brett's department store, and many other prominent Mankato residents followed by building cottages on the point. The continued growth of Point Pleasant was assured with the coming of the Cannon Valley Railroad in 1884, and conveniently the location of their depot was on the road to Point Pleasant. The resort flourished in the 1890s. The Barclays completely renovated the hotel, built a new pier, and a boathouse large enough for a fleet of 20 new boats.
Wow.
The natural beauty of the lake and its abundance of fish was no doubt the major drawing card to Point Pleasant. Ladies and children enjoyed wading about and catching crappies. But serious fishing was for black bass, lake catfish, perch, and pickerel that seemed to take the bait as it hit the water. So this you'll appreciate.
That doesn't happen for me.
Okay, well, listen to this.
Okay.
In a 1906 visitor from Omaha caught 8 large bass in 30 minutes.
Yeah, that doesn't happen for me.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay.
No.
Well, I thought...
I mean, I'll sit there and I'll wait and I'll cast and I'll wait and...
I thought maybe...
I mean, it's incredible for him. I'm happy for him.
Well, maybe back in 1906, they took all the fish then. Maybe that's
what
problem.
It was.
That's
no, I think it's just me, actually. I think it was my skills.
So there was even talk at this time about shipping an exhibit of Madison Lake's black bass to the 1893 Columbian Exposition World's Fair in Chicago.
Interesting.
I know. The lake's crystal clear water made swimming also a big attraction at the point, especially during those dog days of summer. In 1898, Barclay put up the, quote, the finest toboggan slide possible and new bathrooms. The slide is steep enough to give the momentum of the carriage 40 to 50 feet into the lake.
Wow.
A great sport for those who enjoy a swift and safe ride, end quote. He also built a diving platform some 80 feet out from shore with a walk leading out to it. I mean, just can you just imagine?
Right.
Sometime before 1916, the Barclays built a long bathhouse. A Morris, Doc Shepherd, whose parents bought Point Pleasant in 1930, recalls that on a 106-degree day in the 1930s, as many as 3,000 people came to swim and cool off in the lake breezes at Point Pleasant.
That's cool.
Beside fishing boats and canoes, Point Pleasant summer residents had rather elegant sailboats and yachts for boating on the spring-filled waters of Madison Lake.
Let's take a break, and we'll come right back with more Surrounded by History.
Welcome back. Now let's move to another resort on Madison Lake. Some of them did not enjoy the success or lengthy tenure of Point Pleasant. However, in 1877, a few years before the Barclays, which we mentioned before, bought the point, Chauncey Austin, I want you to remember that name, owner of the Mankato Shoe Store, bought a beautiful plot of timber on the western lakeshore only a few miles from Point Pleasant. He built a 100-foot dock and pier into the lake and purchased a fine big sailboat and a number of rowboats. By 1879, about 2 years later, he built a spacious Italianate home large enough for his family and several comfortable rooms for guests. On the grounds of his resort, he also built a store and stocked it with goods for farmers as well as for guests. Arched over the entrance of the long cedar-lined driveway into his resort was a big sign, Prospect Park. In 1879, about 500 people responded to Austin's invitation to, quote, patriotic people in Blue Earth County to join him in celebrating the 4th of July. Boating, swimming, croquet, ample dancing room, and refreshments at reasonable prices, end quote. No longer a resort, Prospect Park was sold to Frank Hone in 1900. It is still visited today, however, by devotees of Mankato's author, Maudhart Lovelace, who spent her childhood vacations there with her grandmother, Mrs. Chauncey Austin. In Heavens to Betsy, the book, she wrote of her summers at, quote, Pleasant Park instead of Prospect Park, and Murmuring Lake instead of Madison Lake. Her parents, Stella Palmer and Thomas Hart, who also worked at the shoe store, was married in the Austin home.
Oh, that is really cool.
So, fun little story.
And it's also one of those things, it's fun to hear these stories once again. Like, people are celebrating, like, I don't know why I have such a hard time wrapping my head around that. Like, the way they dance. Like, they go dancing. Like, we don't just go dancing anymore at places like this.
No.
Like, we're going to go out to the Prospect Park and go dancing this weekend or whatever it may be.
I have a fun dance story for you in a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So hang on.
All right.
So and across the town bay of Madison Lake on the eastern shore was Huff's Point, an ideal resort site with shady woods and a splendid view of the entire lake. In 1887, all about the same time, 10 years after Austin bought his resort property, C.H. Christensen developed a resort at Huff's Point. By 1890, he had cleared the underbrush, plotted 34 lots for cottages, built pretty driveways and promenades, leaving a large area on the extreme point for a hotel facing Point Pleasant. Although investment possibilities for the hotel lagged, the resort, then called Fairpoint, enjoyed a lot of company. It seemed to have its share of family, school, church, and other group picnics, as well as drawing prominent Mankato social groups. During the summers in the early 1890s, so these names mean a lot to me just because I've been digging into history.
Okay.
Dr. and Mrs. Andrews and Dr. and Mrs. Steele of Mankato arranged a 4th of July picnic parties for mostly business and professional friends. Dinner and supper was served on the shady bank overlooking the lake. Boating, sometimes in sailboats or yachts, occupied their time until the fireworks appeared in the evening. Among the 34 guests in 1894 were some familiar names in Mankato history, like Ben Pay, J. Hubbard.
That one I recognize.
And E.F. Searing.
Have we learned about Searing yet?
We haven't, but Searing has a connection with MSU. There was a Searing Hall.
Oh, okay. Yes, there is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By 1900, Christensen still had not found investors for his hotel and sold Fairpoint. The new owners named it Idlewood and planned to keep the grounds private. As I had mentioned to you before we started our broadcast, Idlewood still shows up on a map of Madison Lake. So that area is still known as kind of a neighborhood.
It's still a neighborhood. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever drove out to that point.
Now you're going to have to.
I got a weekend trip planned now.
There we go. Along with recreational sports provided, an active social life evolved in those early Madison Lake resorts. Picnic and party groups came on the morning train from Mankato, spent a happy day together, and returned on the evening train. Cottage owners entertained friends, often with yacht or launch parties. Wedding receptions and special celebrations were held in the dining halls or a pavilion.
That's great that you said the train things. I was wondering, like, how long would it take them to drive out there? But they didn't have cars, actually, so it'd been horse and buggy.
Horse and buggy.
And then how long would that take to get out there? Like,
right.
It's kind of a trip, I feel like, from where Mankato would have been for the footprint
exactly.
at that time.
Exactly.
But then they took the train, and that probably made it that much quicker.
Exactly. So you have two modes of transportation to get out there. And remember, we learned that the train was just a short distance from Point Pleasant.
Point Pleasant. So it's close to the area.
Yeah, pretty easy. Once you got there, pretty easy to get around. So back to our story about dancing. So dancing in the resort pavilion on a platform was so popular that in the 1920s, Elmer Casper built a floating dance hall known as Noah's Ark, a private enterprise unrelated to any resort, but it anchored nearby the resorts. It drew record crowds. In fact, Lawrence Welk played there a few times before he became well-known. As it became too raucous for the cottage residents, investigating town officials, shocked by the, quote, wriggles, steps, and hugs, end quote, and the drinking ended Noah's Ark after two years on the water. Okay, remember the 1920s.
Man brought us down.
There were also resorts on the east side east shores of Madison Lake, but none offered the extensive facilities or services that these early west shore resorts provided. Through the years, these first lake resorts provided area people and many from afar with beautiful surroundings and a wide variety of services and accommodations for all walks of life.
Now, you just mentioned there wasn't a lot on the east side, or at least you couldn't find anything. Well, why is that, you think?
So what I was reading is that a lot of that land or that part of the lake was very mucky and weedy, and it wasn't as crystal clear as for fishing and boating and swimming. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so those prime areas were more of the western side and the northern side.
Okay. Because, yeah, like my buddy and I always go fishing over by like that bridge over there. I don't remember what they call it now, but then we always go fishing over there. We ice fishing out in that area. Out by Bray Park, too. Like,
yeah,
Bray Park's on that
yeah.
list. That's a cool park that's right on the lake that I think a lot of people visit.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I hear people all the time saying they're heading out to Bray Park.
Right. And they have camping out there now. They have so many things. And I don't know if that stuff wasn't around technically, I suppose, when they started doing the parks and the resorts?
You know, I really don't know. I know that according to the things that I did, which was really focused on the 1800s into the mm-hmm. early 1900s, mm-hmm. I don't know that that area was really developed. Do you know when Bray Park opened up?
I was looking it up while you're talking just because I was curious because we're close to that all the time. It was acquisitioned in 1972.
Mm.
So I guess right around that time frame, they started doing some stuff out there. And just the renovations that's happened to that in more recent years of how they've gone from being a park to a, here's a giant playground. You can rent some stuff from here and camping. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful area.
It is.
It's one of those things that I don't know if I'm a weird on this part. I always have a hard time when you share these stories of thinking about how people do this. Like you said, a tourist in their own mm-hmm. backyard. Like, we go up north. That's what we do.
Right.
Well, down here is plenty of things to do in our lakes, and there's resorts here on our lakes,
yep.
too,
mm-hmm.
that not that we just have now, but that they had back in the 1800s, which
exactly.
is incredible to think about.
Exactly. It's the idea that everybody was traveling right here to be able to have that area of recreation, and mm-hmm. we have that right in our backyard, and sometimes we take advantage of the things right in our own backyard.
Yeah, so we need to get out. We need to go enjoy these things.
Go
fishing. I mean, I think you and I think talked about it once before off air about how last summer, with everything that happened, fishing was something I did as a kid, but I never did as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up a fishing pole for the first time since I was 16 last summer, and now I'm addicted. And now this year, we're busy again, though, so it's hard to get back out there
yeah,
and enjoy
right.
it. But it is so much fun to start doing again, so I just definitely recommend getting out there. These resorts might not always be there as much,
right,
but
right.
there's still plenty of places to get on the water and go do that stuff.
Well, and I think the fun part, if you wanted to go on a little adventure, is go try to figure out where these places were.
Oh,
see
exactly.
See what's still left and what you might be able to learn about the places in our backyard.
I think I also might take some time and find some investors to build what Elmer Casper started.
Ooh.
I want to have a big floating barge that's for all the dancing and drinking.
I like it.
Until the law come and gets
and
me down.
And they get upset with the wiggles and the steps
the
and the
wriggles.
Hugs. Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that they called it Noah's Ark, knowing that people were getting paired off on
right,
and dancing.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's funny. I didn't
mm-hmm.
even think of that.
It was
only for 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, and that's in the 19th to the roaring 20s, but they shut it down.
20s. There is a picture of Noah's Ark. So anybody that wants to know more, there's always more information at the Blue Earth County Historical Society. So we hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored the history of Madison Lake's early resorts. And again, all of this information we shared comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, we encourage you to check out one of the many beautiful lakes in Blue Earth County and hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.